The historical event that Isaiah is talking about is after the Babylonian exile. The Babylonians, of course, conquered Israel and took 90% of the Jewish population and exiled them to Babylon, hundreds of miles away. And they were there for about 70 years. But then, like all kingdoms rise and fall, the Babylonians were conquered by the Persians. And Cyrus, to whom this passage is addressed, was the king of the Persians. He conquered the Babylonians. And then he announced a decree allowing the Jews to go back to Israel and rebuild Jerusalem. And he even gave them some money to rebuild the city. That's the historical event. But Isaiah, like all Old Testament writers, is prophetic in the sense that he is seeing these historical secular events in a divine context. And he's putting a perspective on that that comes from faith. And the perspective is this. God says to Cyrus, I have anointed you, okay? Kings were anointed, but Cyrus was a pagan. He was a Gentile. He didn't know God. The text says several times, though you did not know me, I anointed you. I armed you. I made all of these things, your victories possible, even though you did not know me, I knew you. And I have done this on behalf of my servant Israel, but also so that the whole world may know that there is only one God and there is no other. So that's the context in the Old Testament. Now, that's paired by the church in the lectionary with that gospel story that where Jesus creates a context. And they put this question to him to trick him, of course. Is it lawful to pay the census tax or not? Okay, the census tax was a Roman tax, and it was a way of saying that you are a satellite nation, you are a conquered nation, you are serfs of the Roman Empire, and therefore you have to pay tax to Rome. And the Jews resented that. And there were arguments among them whether it was even morally right to pay that census tax. If God is king over Israel, then isn't it even immoral to be paying the census tax to Rome? And so that's the question they're putting before Jesus. And it was one of those unanswerable questions. You know, you could argue it both ways, but in the end, they were forced to do it whether they wanted to or not. So Jesus, as always, lifts the question out of that narrow context and puts a larger perspective on it. And here's the perspective of Jesus. Humans have a tendency to think of themselves as autonomously free, free to make as much money as they want, to be as rich as they want, free to do whatever they want, whenever they want, free to be themselves, autonomous beings. But in order to get along, I carve out a little bit of my finances for taxes so that we can have sewers and highways and the goods that I want. So I kind of begrudgingly carve out taxes for that. And church makes me feel good, and so in order to have that to pay for the air conditioning and the lights and that sort of thing, I kind of begrudgingly carve out a little bit of tithing for that. And these are infringements, basically, on my autonomous freedom, on my autonomous self. But see, Jesus is looking at it from a divine perspective, not a human perspective. And in the divine perspective, the giving of self, the letting go of everything, even my life, is what makes me who I am. You see, Jesus is Son of God. Jesus is the second person of the Blessed Trinity. And in the Trinity, they're always giving themselves completely to the other two, and that is never understood in the Trinity as begrudging. It is never understood as taking anything away from them. It is who they are. And we have been invited into sonship and daughterhood just like Jesus. We've been invited into a divine way of being, and so the perspective out of which we view taxes and tithing and moral responsibility to the community and to one another and all of those things, we view them not as infringements on ourselves, but our very selves. This is who we are. This is what makes us fully human. Jesus shows us in human form what it looks like to be God. But at the same time, since we are created in God's image, he is showing us what it looks like to be fully human. And to be fully human, you can't have that smaller, myopic worldview. You have to be drawn up into the eternal, infinite vision of God, the way God sees things and the way God reacts to reality. Well, whether we've been aware of it or not, all our lives we've been coming here and doing this every Sunday morning. We've been practicing ritually the gift of self. This is what liturgy is. And yes, we need to sing and we need to stand and sit and kneel and process and we need to make signs of the cross and do all these things that are sometimes called participation in the liturgy. But they are only helps to the real participation, because participation in the liturgy is participation in the life of God, who is a self-offerer. And so we are practicing ritually self-offering. We are laying our very lives, our very selves, on the altar along with Christ. So when Jesus says, give to Caesar what belongs to Caesar, and to God what belongs to God, he's saying, Caesar's world is important, but it's a little world. But God is everything. Your very being belongs to God. Everything you are and everything you have, everything belongs to God. And so when you give to God what is God's, you're giving your very self. Not just some change out of your pocket, but yourself. What Jesus is asking is infinite. It's impossible. I mean, who can do that? Even Peter says to Jesus at one point, well, then who can be saved? Well, for humans, if you're looking on a purely human plane, it isn't going to happen. But Jesus is inviting us not to look at it from that small world, but to look at it from God's vision. Because we come from God, and we're going to God, and we belong to God. And we are participators in God's very life. And so let's not sell ourselves short. Let's not think in those small world terms. Let's think about the big umbrella that's over everything and become part of God's life by giving our lives to Him.